Blog Talk Radio.
Well, good morning, good evening, and good afternoon to my beautiful planet Earth. I want to welcome you to It's All About You, the radio program that is celebrating life, prosperity, and unlimited potential. And I'm your host, I'm Darian Marshall, and as always, you know the drill. I'm one of the few people on the planet who's really happy when Monday comes around because I get a chance to do the show. I talk to exciting people and get to share beautiful information throughout the world through the internet. And it's just a crazy good old time. I'm here with a nice cup of tea. Got my candles lit. I tell you, it looks like a Buddhist temple in this room. It's really crazy. And today we're going to talk about our beautiful little girls. My guest today is Catherine Lafleur. And she's the author of this fantastic book, Moonlight Hunting. Welcome to the show, Catherine. How are you?
I'm great. Thank you so much for having me.
You know, it's so funny. My heart was beating and I said, I hope I pronounced the last name correctly. Is that how you pronounce your name?
Yes, that's
Lafleur.
Fine.
Great. Well, congratulations on your new book. It's beautiful.
Thank you. I'm so glad you enjoyed it.
And the cover, you know, it just reminds me of like Joan of Arc or something like that, and it makes you want to read it. I can't wait to really sit down and dig into it. Did you come up with the idea for the cover? It's beautiful.
I did not. There's a wonderful graphic artist. Her name is Sandra Menezes, and she has a credit on the back of the book. And she did the cover for Moonlight Hunting as well as the first book in the series, The Dream Traveler. And she's amazing because I'll just tell her, you know, here's what the book's about. I'm not really sure what I want, but, you know, and then she comes up with these great ideas.
Well, she knows what she's doing because the second I saw the book, I said, oh, I got to read this. This really looks good.
Oh, thank you.
So tonight we're going to talk about girls and ignite your inner superhero. So first of all, why do you write for children? Which is, I guess, that's an obvious answer, but why do you write for children?
Yeah, I think there are a lot of reasons I write for kids. One is that they have such huge imaginations, and they're so ready to really get immersed in stories. It's just really fun to be able to, you know, you don't really have to play by any rules. You can just kind of let your imagination loose and create any kind of stories that you want. I work very closely with children. I'm an elementary school teacher, and so I appreciate, you know, what their interests and the different kinds of books they like to read. And reading aloud to kids is actually one of my favorite things to do. So it's kind of natural the way I fell into it. And I also feel that by writing stories that have positive messages, I am able to reach a lot of young readers, a lot of children, and hopefully give them a little bit of inspiration and some encouragement in their own lives.
Now, what do you think your books stand out? What makes your books unique?
Well, I think that my books offer positive messages and real life lessons, but it's not in a way that's you know, kind of rammed down kids' throats. It's like an after school special that feels more like entertainment. And so I think that's a little bit different. They're not packaged in a way, you know, like this book is about learning how to be honest or, you know, that sort of thing. They're packaged in a real entertaining story.
You know, that's the one thing I sort of picked up from your cover. It looks like it could be a nice young people story, but it doesn't look, I can't think of a good word. It doesn't look stupid. It really doesn't.
Well, thank you.
It really doesn't. It looks meaningful, yet it doesn't look like it will overwhelm a person as they read it. That's what I kind of got from just your cover alone.
Yeah, I know for myself when I read, I want to read a good adventure. I want to get pulled into the story, but I don't want to come away from the book feeling depressed.
Exactly.
You know?
Like you
so
work.
I think... Yeah, so I think that's sort of the story that I write is a story that I would want to read myself.
Now, how does your latest book speak to your mission statement of empowering young readers to value their unique abilities and face challenges with bravery and that kind of thing?
Well, I think that the main character, Moonlight, she comes across at first as this perfect person. She's strong, she's brave, she knows how to do a lot of things, But as we dig deeper into the story, we find out that she actually is very vulnerable and she has a lot of self-doubts. And I think that readers, especially young readers, can really connect to that. And as Moonlight's story progresses, you know, she's able to draw on her unique abilities, and that's what takes her through her on her path and helps her to overcome her struggles. And so I think that when readers are following her story, they can connect with her on that level of, you know, realizing that nobody's perfect, but once you really embrace who you truly are, then all of these wonderful possibilities open up.
See, I love stories like that. It, you know, as I was going over the information for the show today, all I kept saying is, like, God, I wish I had people like you around when I was a little kid.
Like,
I'm telling you, this is the type of story I would love to read, because I've seen different shows on TV, and I would always see myself as that one person who was kind of lost, kind of unsure of his or her power, and if they end up being the strongest, most powerful person in the story, where initially they look like the meekest and the shyest out of everybody in the story. It's just really interesting.
Yeah, it's nice when the underdog can really come out and shine and show their
stuff. Yeah.
And realize how special they really are.
Now, you mentioned earlier that you're a teacher. How has being a teacher affected your writing?
Well, for one thing, I've taught in a few different schools. So I've had access to a few different classroom libraries. So that's given me a pretty good range of different books to read myself. And so I've been able to see what kinds of books my students enjoy, and then also learned by reading books by other authors. I learn a lot from other authors. And then also teaching second grade right now, and writing is a really big piece of that. And by teaching the process of writing, I've been able to look more closely at certain aspects of writing, and that's in turn deepened my own understanding and also challenged me to keep working on improving my own writing. If I'm asking my students, you know, to work on giving vivid descriptions and developing characters, and I'd better be doing the same thing as well.
Oh, yeah, that would make sense, right? Yes,
yeah.
Yes. Regarding Moonlight Hunting, this is your latest book, right? Moonlight
yes.
Hunting. When in history does this take place? I'm thinking Joan of Arc, and for some reason with the sword and everything. What time period is this taking place in?
Well, I would say it's probably would correlate to our medieval period a little bit. It's an alternative world, so it wouldn't be you know, specifically pulled from our history, but it is you know, there's not a whole lot of the weaponry is mostly, you know, swords and that sort of thing, and you know, so it's very kind of basic living.
Oh, great! It kind of has a Mulan feel, just something about that strong girl go moving forward.
Yeah.
I love it. So what do you want readers to get from your book?
Well, I want them to be entertained, first of all.
Mm-hmm.
And then I also want them to be open to possibilities and to see that the limits that we place on ourselves are keeping us from the things that we actually want to see in our lives, and they're actually imposed on us by ourselves. We're the ones who are creating any limits that we have on ourselves. We're making those up. You know, maybe we had an experience that put a belief in our heads, or maybe it was the way we were raised, but it's our belief systems that limit us. And really, that it's kind of up to us. We're kind of our own worst enemies sometimes.
It's funny, as I was growing up, when I was going over this, I kind of thought about, I was always the, just a very sort of shy person, withdrawn, but when you really got on my nerves and pushed me to the limit, then I would kind of go off, so I would tell off the wrong people, the people I should have told off, I let them get away with it, and the people I should have stayed quiet, I would go off and try to know what I was doing. I really didn't. So developing voice as a vehicle for empowerment, that's really important for you. Well, why is that? Did you have a problem with that, or did you always have a powerful voice? How did you see yourself?
No, I think I was very similar to you. I was always being told to speak up. I was silent a lot of the time.
Mm-hmm.
I really was not very good at expressing myself verbally. I did a lot of journaling, but that was all very private. Calling the pizza guy, right, to order a pizza, that was intimidating for me.
Wow.
So I was like the quiet kid in the back of the class who was, you know, hoping the teacher would notice me. So I found that the more I've exercised my voice, even through, you know, college and early adulthood, the stronger I've become as an individual. And not only that, but expressing myself also gave me a way to have a better understanding of who I am and gave me greater self-awareness.
That's great. Because, you know, even now, people who really don't know me and they may see me on stage or doing something in particular, they may think, oh, look at him. He's so brave. He speaks. He knows the stuff. They have no idea what I go through before I leave this house. Sometimes even going to something like a family reunion, I will literally act out in my head, running into certain aunts and uncles, what I would say if they asked, well, how come you're not married? What's going on? What are you doing these days?
Right, right.
I go through all that drama just to be around people that I'm familiar with. How were you able to overcome that, being shy and, like, what did you actually do?
Yeah, well, you know what? You mentioned actually a really good strategy, kind of rehearsing interactions in your head, and that's something that I've done quite a lot, and I still do.
Oh, okay. I don't feel
yeah,
so bad.
Yeah, so, yeah, you're not the only one.
Oh,
yeah. and I think that's a really good tool, a really good coping mechanism.
Mm-hmm.
A lot of it's been setting goals for myself and just taking steps that have sometimes been terrifying, but, you know, maybe even going to a bookstore and saying, hey, I'm a local author, would you carry my book? That's so scary, you know, if I want to move forward in this, if I want people to know about my books, I have to take those steps. And so it's kind of like dangling a carrot, you know, in front of me, and then I got to tell myself, well, it's, you know, what's the worst that's going to happen? It's not going to kill me, you know, if someone says no, you know, I find a different path. So it's been a lot of kind of psyching myself up, and just taking those risks.
Man, like I said, I'm sitting here. I guess it's like a therapy session for me disguised as a talk show because I learn so much from the different guests that come on. Now, I really like that because I'm going through that right now as far as my latest book is on forgiveness. It's called Today You Forgive Me, What About Tomorrow? And I'm going through that, you know, talking to different store owners about putting the book out. That's not the super hardest. What kills me when they say, oh, sure, you want to do a book signing, then I'm having all kinds of heart attacks. <You know? laughs>
Yeah, that can be nerve-wracking. And for me, it's just hoping and praying that people will show up.
Oh, that's another
that's
thing.
That's a tough part, yeah.
You know, hearing crickets, you know what I mean?
Right.
Now, did you initially want to have the main characters of your books be strong female role models? Was that something that was always there for you?
I didn't set out to do that intentionally. It wasn't a big thing in my head that said, I want to write stories that feature strong women. I think that being a woman myself, it's easier to write from that perspective. And since I was a little girl, I'm a big daydreamer, so I've spent so much time daydreaming myself into these roles of courageous women and girls when I was younger, that I think it just came as it was natural for me to develop these strong females for my lead characters.
Mm-hmm. Now, can your characters also empower boys as well?
Definitely. I sure hope so.
Mm-hmm.
I don't see why not. I think just as girls read books about boys, you know, and get into the stories and can certainly imagine themselves into those stories. And I think the same can be true for boys. Boys can read books that feature girls just the same.
Oh, yeah, because most of my role models have been girls. I thought it was because, I'll say it this way, because I'm not straight. I'll say it that way.
Okay.
I'm still coming to things, to grips with things. But I thought it was because of that. You know, people like Dorothy on The Wizard of Oz, you know, those, what's her name, Betty Davis and different people empowered me. But I thought it was because of that reason, you know. Mm-hmm. But, you know, your characters that you have in your book, they in your book seem to empower me as well. And that's just good to know. It's not just me. So,
yeah,
so,
yeah.
So what is it? Is it because they were perceived weak at first and then showed the world that they were strong? What is it that... I'm sorry.
It's okay.
Yeah.
What is it about my characters?
Yeah, that seems to be able to resonate with boys and girls at the same time.
Yeah, I think they tend to be approachable. I think they're relatable characters. Mm-hmm. You know, one of my characters is a 16-year-old girl, and I think just like any teenaged boy or girl, she's trying to find her way. She's trying to figure out, you know, who she is and how does the world around her work and what is her place in that world. And I think that boys go through those same questions that girls do. So being able to relate to these characters, you know, in that way, then they can put themselves in their shoes and say, oh, well, she figured it out. I can do it too. And then there are male characters in the book. They're more minor characters, but they are there.
Oh, yes, yes, yes. I have a list here. Your publicist people are really awesome. They sent me so much great information on you and for you. There's a list here called From Meek to Mighty, 10 Ways to Empower Your Little Girl. And I love that. I have a niece. I love her to death. And she's a tough little thing, so I really love that about her, that she doesn't let people push her around. I really like that. Now, why is this list so important for us to empower our little girls, from meek to mighty?
Yeah, because I think everyone has so much to offer, and a lot of little girls, you know, they're taught to be well-behaved, to be quiet, you know, keep your work neat and tidy. You know, those are the sorts of things that they're praised for. And really they need to be praised for being who they are and for speaking up and sharing their voice.
Mm-hmm.
And so, you know, boys too, I certainly wouldn't say that this is just for girls. I think there are a lot of little boys out there who are on the shy side, and they need to be empowered as well. But especially for girls where, you know, despite decades of research and work on gender bias in the classrooms, I think, you know, there's still a piece there. And just in general, in the United States, I think that there tends to be a lot of emphasis on girls being meek and quiet and well-behaved. And you know, boys are the rowdy ones. You know, you expect that from boys.
Exactly,
so,
yes. Well, it's 10 here. I want to just go over a couple of them because they're really interesting. Number one is give her the words. Could you talk a little bit about that for us? I'm saying us. I used to co-host the show with my best friend. Now it's just me, and I keep saying us. Excuse me.
<It's> okay.
So can you elaborate on that for me?
Absolutely. So I know I have found myself many times staying silent just because I didn't know what words to use. And so something as simple as teaching, how do you say, no, thank you, I don't want that. You know, it's okay to say no, or it's okay to state a preference. I would like to do this, but, you know, not this. That sort of thing. So I think that's really the first step is giving kids the vocabulary to speak up for themselves.
Mm-hmm. I love number five, teach eye contact. Now, why is that important?
It's so important, right? If you can't look someone in the eye, how are you going to connect with them and show confidence? And it can start with something as simple as, you know, having a little girl look into her own eyes in the mirror.
And you can
play games, you know, like you know, have you ever made eye contact through the mirror? That's kind of cool. So, you know, if she's comfortable looking into her own eyes, then you can share the mirror with her and you guys can connect your eye contact. Or you could play other games. You know, if you have a larger group, there, you know, you can play freeze tag, and to get unfrozen, you have to make eye contact. Or there's a game that I play in the classroom called Zip Zap Zop, and it's about kind of passing a verbal cue from one kid to another, and it has to be done with eye contact. So those are really good ways to develop that. And then, you know, when you have that confidence to look someone in the eye, that just gets you that much closer to being able to connect with that person and to let them know what's on your mind.
That's wonderful. You really can tell a lot about people with their eyes, you know?
Yeah.
I remember I was, what's her name? Louise Hay. She had an exercise.
I love Louise Hay.
Don't you love her?
She changed my life. Yes.
I know. Yes. I love her. And that was one of the hardest things for me to do, to look into my own eyes in the mirror and say, I love you and things like that.
Mm-hmm.
But I did it. Now, the interesting with the eye thing with me, I happen to just love eyes anyway, and I look at people, and, you know, I've gotten in trouble at times. People thought I was actually in love with them because I was staring at them. So, and I didn't mean to do that. I was really trying to listen and really get what they were saying.
Uh-huh.
Now, how can we – we're kind of getting off. I'm so sorry. How do we look without – making the people uncomfortable, because I want to look and be interested without getting weird, you know what I mean?
Yeah, I guess that is a little more subtle,
mm-hmm.
right? So you take breaks from you break eye contact once in a while, you know, and you don't have to be leaning forward and inches from somebody's face, right? It can be a little bit more casual. It doesn't have to be like your eyes are locked.
Mm-hmm.
You know, when you're speaking to someone, you want to teach little girls and little boys that, you know, make sure that you're looking at someone. I have so many kids who start to talk to me and they turn away. You know, as you're talking to me,
oh, wow.
But to remind them, honey, I can't hear you unless you're, you know, facing me at least.
Right.
Yeah.
Now, number six is practice greeting and goodbye rituals. Now, what does that mean?
So that would mean just knowing how to say hello.
Mm-hmm.
You know, if it's a more formal kind of scenario, maybe greeting your teacher or grown up, you know, knowing how to say hello and nice to meet you, and then with friends in a more casual setting, you know, saying hi, you know, hi, can I play, that sort of thing, and just that simple greeting, you know, that will open up some possibilities for getting to know someone and maybe even making a friend.
Great stuff. Okay, so number two, role play. Is that?
Oh, that's fun.
Yeah, and what type of role play do you, like being a storekeeper and a customer, or how do you do that?
Yeah, I kind of thought back to when I had this fear of calling up the pizza guy to order, you know, and I thought, because I would even, be shy about being at the ice cream parlor and be shy about telling someone what kind of ice cream I wanted, you know, so I think that even for kids to learn that it's okay to express their preferences.
Mm-hmm.
Food is a really great way to start. So you could pretend that you're at a restaurant and maybe your little girl is the customer and you're the waiter, and you could be really silly with it. You know, she could put in her order and then you could, you know, pretend to keep forgetting it or something, keep getting it wrong. And then you can switch roles. And so just, you know, putting this lighthearted feel to it, then when you take it into the real world, it's not going to feel so scary.
Great. Number four is to provide opportunities to have an audience. That sounds fun.
Yes, definitely. And, you know, I think about kids in school are often called upon to speak in front of their peers. There's, you know, show and tell. There are presentations to give. Even in second grade, I'm having, you know, my kids do little presentations, and that can be really nerve-wracking for some kids. And so giving them a chance to practice with an audience will kind of help ease those fears. And for the real sensitive and fearful children, you know, you can set up their toys. They can have a little audience of stuffies and, you know, action figures or whoever they want, and then you can expand from there.
That's great. You know, it's funny. I can see how that could help a child in growing and developing, doing. God, why weren't you around when I was little? Oh my goodness. Okay, now guide your child to focus on her innate gifts and talents. I'm all tongue-tied tonight. I don't know what's going on. Let me read that again. Guide your child to focus on her innate gifts and talents. Now, how can we do that?
Well, I think it's important to recognize first that there are so many talents, and they fall into so many different. It's not always that, you know, someone can read well or they're really good at math. You know, sometimes it's that someone's really good at maybe they have a fun sense of humor, or they're really good at reading body language, or they're very observant. You know, so there are different ways to that we show our gifts, and it's important to find where those special gifts are, so that your child can you know, value that uniqueness and find ways to share that special part of themselves at home and at school and in after school activities. Because when you share something about yourself that is that special, I think there's a sense of reward, an intrinsic reward that you get, and also it boosts your confidence.
Mm-hmm. My favorite on this list is celebrate successes. Now, how
do we do that?
Yeah, I like that one.
Yeah. You know, it doesn't have to be, let's go to Toys R Us and get you a big toy. You know, I'm not so much about that sort of reward. It's more about just sharing the successes. So it could be a high five, you know, do a little happy dance together, a big hug, you know, just noticing, wow, look at you had all these goals and you reached your goals and your voice is so strong now. And just, you know, letting your child see how proud you are of the work that they've done.
Wow. You know, it's funny. You have it's something about your voice. It's fun. Like I can see you being someone like this is so crazy. I'm thinking. Oh, Maria, is it the lady that plays Maria on Sesame Street?
Oh,
I don't know. I mean, I can see you doing that type of thing. You know, with the children and little puppets running around. You know,
I would love that. Yeah, I would love to.
You sound like you would be great with that. Because your voice is a lot of fun. That's great, great.
Oh, thank you.
Yeah, but, I'm really just having a good time here with your book. And now, how has the book been doing? Are people responding to it very well?
So far I've gotten really good feedback from it. Still definitely building an audience. Mm-hmm. And I think that's just kind of time and money. But overall, I've gotten a really positive response.
Mm-hmm. I had a few of the comments right here of, let's see, Foxfur. Now, are these names? Okay, well, the Dream Traveler. I was truly delighted to discover a fantasy novel reminiscent of the ones I devoured as a teenager. The story starts explosively right in the middle of the action. Read it and join me in the wait for the next one. Oh, that's pretty good.
Yeah.
These are from your readers. And we have Foxfur. Yeah, I wanted to read that one. Catherine Lafleur, I love your last name.
Boy, okay.
Is the perfect writer for young children. Her stories are quick, entertaining, and will keep any child intrigued. It's time that her books reach every school in the world. Whoa, that's very nice.
Yeah, that one felt really good. And I'm very proud of Foxfur. Foxfur is a very sweet story, and so I'm glad that it was very well received.
Oh, yeah, so that's the... And I'm sorry, I'm seeing so many of them, I wanted to read. What does it feel like for you when you get feedback like this, that, you know, you put all this work... and you finally gave birth to this amazing child, and you see that people are really benefiting from it. That must be awesome.
It feels so good. It really does feel amazing. And, you know, I would write regardless, you know, that's just what's in me. But to know that it's affecting other people in a positive way really is a great gift.
Oh, that's awesome. We are down to 1 minute. Boy, this show flies so fast. I want to ask really quick, do you have some type of sort of spiritual ritual every day that you do? Like, do you take a walk? Do you sip tea by the fireplace? Do you have any type of thing that gets you
that sounds lovely.
Set up for the day?
You know what? Every night when I go to bed, I do focus on gratitude. And go through my day and I choose at least three, and it usually grows into more and more things that happen that day that I'm really grateful for. And I think that it helps me end the day on a positive note, and then I think I wake up happier the next day. And so that's really big for me, is making sure that I'm focusing on what is going well in my life and not, you know, dwelling on the negative.
That is wonderful. And it's working, I got to say. I don't know you personally, but just by the way you talk and the type of things that you write, you can read a lot into a person. And you seem to be having a lot of fun with your life. I mean, you really do.
Yeah, life is good. I'm enjoying it.
That's wonderful, wonderful. Well, our little party is over. It flew by so quick.
Oh, that was so fast.
Yeah, I just want to thank you so much for joining me on my little show. This was really great, and I can't wait to dive into this book. It looks like it's a lot of fun.
Well, thank you. I'm so grateful to have had the chance to chat with you, and I hope you enjoy Moonlight Hunting.
I'm sure I will. And you'll be back on again. You got enough stuff out there now, so you're stuck with me now.
Oh, for sure. Yeah, you give me a call anytime.
Terrific. You've been listening to It's All About You, the radio program that is celebrating life, prosperity, and unlimited potential. And I'm your host, Darian Marshall. And my guest today was Catherine Lafleur, and she's author of this beautiful new book, Moonlight Hunting, and it's available everywhere. Books are sold and on Amazon, and please get it and start reading it right away. I don't care if you're an adult, you're a child, just get it. It's really worth it. It's a beautiful book. And I look forward to being with you next week, where we'll have another party and we'll have another fabulous guest for you. And I'll talk to you later, and so it is.